Newsmakers is brought to you by the Illinois American Water Company. I'm Gary Moore on today's program.
We understand that it was a different time, it was a different day, but we need to understand that it's a different time and a different day in 2021.
The Vice President of the Peoria Public Schools Board of Education, Greg Wilson, talks about an effort to rename 6 schools in the district. First, generally, tell me, what was the rationale behind the change in the names of the schools?
The rationale, one of the biggest rationale, or biggest factors that played in my decision to introduce the 6 schools that are being renamed was the history, the past history of these presidents that adorn our school buildings. Thomas Jefferson, if you were to kind of transform, and if he was here still today, then he wouldn't approve of half the student population that's inside of that school. He would disapprove of. He would not want them to be educated. He would prey on many of the young women, that the young students that attend the school. I mean, it's a proven fact that he was a rapist. And I just think as we move forward as a community, to name the school building after someone who has fought for equality, someone local, someone who has attempted to fight for justice for all people, I believe it was very important to reanalyze these names that's on the buildings and try to replace them with some significant figures.
You mentioned Thomas Jefferson, and as you also mentioned, that is one of 6. And let's just break down each one individually and the reasons behind wanting to change the name. So you talked about Jefferson and some of the unknown history, and that's a factor too. We should probably talk a little bit about that, in that for centuries in this country, throughout the system of education, when we talked about history and civics, a lot of the things that were in the history books were one-sided. They were whitewashed. There was what one educator calls the heroification of historical figures, so that Columbus, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, a lot of these people were portrayed as heroes because the nation needed or yearned for their leaders to be upright and righteous. And so George Washington didn't tell a lie. He said he was going to cut down the cherry tree, and all the pictures of him when he's crossing the Potomac, he's like standing up in the boat with a handsome profile. And it was not reported in these history books that Washington was a slave owner. That Jefferson was a slave owner. Jefferson had a black mistress, Sally Hemings, who he had children by. Woodrow Wilson's position on race, and et cetera. So expound on that, the underreported history that we are just now learning.
Yes, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. All of those facts that you stated are very relevant to the issue that's at hand with the school renaming. And it's one of the reasons why, as a board, we also implemented a year-round curriculum. We adopted the Black History 365 curriculum for our district. And that was to attempt, I think, for a long time now, the what African Americans have brought to the table has been ignored or are just completely left out. So we definitely have to begin telling the story of, you know, how America came to be. You know, you mentioned George Washington and all the heroic efforts and traditional pictures that he has that are held in high esteem, which I'm not saying that they shouldn't. I do believe that these men, for their time and for what they did for the United States, is definitely one to be applauded. However, the actions that these men took should not be applauded. I mean, when you're a slave owner and you know, those heroes are those people that look to these presidents as heroes were enemies to the African-American race. So in many ways, they're not our hero. They're not my hero. Thomas Jefferson was not my hero. And if I was living in the age of when Thomas Jefferson was around, then he would make that very apparent that I'm not too, you know, that I am someone he doesn't like. So I think that's very important to note, and, you know, a great thing to bring up.
Well, yeah, and not just someone that he didn't like, but someone that he would feel should be on the plantation and should not be afforded some of the rights that you enjoy. You mentioned, right? You mentioned some others. So it's Jefferson. It's a few years ago, Woodrow Wilson was changed. Who, and Washington is one. What else?
You have Harrison. You have Calvin Coolidge. You have Theodore Roosevelt. And you have Charles Lindbergh.
Let's talk about Harrison. Why Harrison?
Okay. Benjamin Harrison, just some policies that he put out there that really kind of negatively affected minorities. I don't, you know, necessarily, you know, see, you know, the process of the renaming of these schools isn't necessarily, you know, going into the past and looking, you know, real deep into that situation. He has created policies that have affected minorities, in different ways. But it's also time to be, you know, to have other segments, other minorities be represented on these school buildings. If you look around, we have one, Dr. Maude Sanders. Now we have Dr. C.T. Vivian Primary School. It's just time to represent the contributions of minorities on our buildings. So Harrison, with those policies that he did, Calvin Coolidge is another one with different policies that wasn't necessarily directed towards African Americans, but other minority groups such as Hispanics, you know, was a reason for bringing his name up. Same with Theodore Roosevelt and Charles Lindbergh being a Nazi sympathizer, so to speak. You know, he was very close to that that awful party there with the Nazis and the Jews and things of that nature.
What do you say to people who say this is just revisionist history, that these folks who are talking about changing the curriculum, one, they have to acknowledge the times that Jefferson and Washington and these other people you're talking about were men of their times, that the majority of the people back then thought like that, and so you're looking at it through a modern lens, and it's not right for you to say if they had been around now, they would be opposed to half the student population because they're black. This is now, and that was then. What do you say to that argument?
Absolutely. I would say that this school renaming change isn't for them. It's for the child that goes to that school now. Just working with the parent today, a student, I should say, and they're going to be entering the first grade, and they're now going to be going to Dr. C.T. Vivian Primary School. That's who the name change is for. It's not for the person that is 50 years old out of elementary, out of middle school, out of high school. This is something that's for our children as they come of age now. You can't deny the fact that Thomas Jefferson around during the late 1700s and George Washington, and they're going to go along with the times and do what they were doing. But if we don't change the narrative of historically and systematically being oppressed and start to change that narrative, if not now, then when? When is someone or when are we going to start changing the narrative? When are we going to say, okay, this could be an American hero, it could be America's hero, but it just quite frankly isn't our hero. And when I say our, I mean all minorities, groups. And not only minorities, Thomas Jefferson, I can't think of the actual tally that voted for Thomas Jefferson, but poor whites were not able to vote for Thomas Jefferson. So this wasn't the people's president, for one, all of these presidents. In some way, each one of these presidents that we're discussing right now, they got elected at a time where African-American and other minority subgroups were oppressed. They were not people's presidents. They were America's presidents.
Another argument that I hear when this subject comes up is that everyone is flawed. Jefferson had his flaws, but on the flip side, he was the one who wrote those beautiful words about inalienable rights and the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Benjamin Harrison was a president who pushed for legislation to have schools, and we're talking about schools, open regardless of race, which was a pretty novel idea back then, and questioned states' civil rights records. And so while there were policies that may have been detrimental to blacks and other minorities, he, on the flip side, had these other things going. What do you say to that, that nobody is perfect and we should celebrate the good and jettison the negative parts?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we all would agree that, everyone, definitely has their flaws. But not everyone owns slaves. Not everyone, oppresses, large amounts of, people. Those beautiful words that you spoke of that Thomas Jefferson wrote were not directed towards people that look like me or that were, African-American. So no longer as he wrote those words, there was, he was raping African-American women, also enslaving African-American men, women, girls, and boys. Beautiful words over these actions that he displayed, I don't think that's to be celebrated. The same with any other president that was mentioned. Benjamin Harrison, he did some good deeds, but other, other areas, not so much. It's time that we place significant individuals that have fought for equality for all races that is even local on our school buildings. So, the argument can be said for you know, when these school buildings were named, which was probably around the 1900s, just like, you know, that was time back then. Now we're in 2021, and this is the time now. So, you know, things change, and no longer do I feel the need to act as if Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Harrison, Calvin Coolidge, et cetera, were four people that look like me, because they weren't. And we're still systematically, you know, being reminded of that fact.
I'm looking at some information on Calvin Coolidge, and according to at least one biographer, he was devoid of racial prejudice and hated the Ku Klux Klan, and also had some very sharp words to say about lynching, that lynching should be a federal crime, and that he would appear in the 1920s, even though he was known as Silent Cal, to take some very affirmative positions on race matters, in favoring African Americans and other minorities. Is he one of the people that you were talking about earlier who it's not so much policies as it is perhaps we could find someone else of color whose name would be better, a better representation of that school, given its location and its student demographics? Or are you taking him to task also on some specific policies?
Nothing specific, but I'm here to say that Calvin Coolidge, you know, honestly, you know, what has he done for African Americans? What has he done for other minority groups? Like, you know, I mean, it's one thing to be void of, or, what's the word, indifferent to racism or things of that nature. What was the most outstanding thing he did for minorities? Did he stand on the front line, and did he, make policies that strove for, fairness and equal rights and things of that nature? If he didn't, then his name belongs on the list. And yes, I mean, it goes hand in hand. Even if, this is not a situation of where, you know, I'm not a historian where I dive into the, full history, but one of those things to where, you know, we have local individuals here in this community that have fought for equal rights, that has essentially, fought for equality and civil rights for everyone. And it is now 2021. It's not the 1900s, 10s, 20s, 30s. And we have the majority population is minority. About 78% is minority. And we need to start having some people that are on our school buildings that reflect the student population that District Peoria Public Schools District 150 has.
We want to remind our listeners, this is Newsmakers on WPNV. Newsmakers is sponsored by the Illinois American Water Company, and it's always a pleasure for me to speak with Greg Wilson. I don't talk to you often enough, you know that, right? And when we do talk, it's always a good conversation. Greg Wilson, a member of the Peoria Public Schools Board of Education, and the school district just recently changed the name of Thomas Jefferson School to Reverend C.T. Vivian Public School. Reverend C.T. Vivian was a lieutenant of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who got his start in Macomb, Illinois, and Peoria. And many people around Peoria remember Reverend Vivian as someone who was sincerely devoted and committed to civil rights. There's a famous clip, a video clip of Reverend Vivian on the Eyes on the Prize documentary, where he's standing on the steps of a voting place in the South, and he gets punched in the face, and he gets up with his face bloodied and addresses those who attacked him, and makes a very eloquent argument about voting rights for African Americans. So, yes, his name will replace Thomas Jefferson's. But, you know, I want to, again, and not to belabor this point, but when we come to people like Calvin Coolidge, who to me, and I'm just speaking for myself, is kind of on the fence, you know, here's someone who delivered a speech at a historically black college. You know, he signed the Indian Citizenship Act. And so there were some specific things that, you know, you could point to with Calvin Coolidge. But I hear you loud and clear when you say it is time for us to look at naming some schools. We should have more than one school named after an African-American. But I'm still trying to figure out what's the criteria, like what's the metrics that you use, that the board uses? You've got now two schools, Woodrow Wilson and Thomas Jefferson, that have been changed. When you go to the next one, what's the metrics that you use, you know, to eliminate someone like Calvin Coolidge and replace them with someone else?
Well, so, you know, without diving so far into Coolidge, you know, the Immigration Act of 1924 was one reason why his name's on this list. So, you know, that when I refer to policies and different legislation that a lot of these presidents have made, if we're talking Coolidge in particular, that's one that I would advise, you know, everyone to look into. But as far as criteria can you repeat the question you mentioned?
Yeah, what's the metrics? Like when you sit down and you say, okay, we're going to eliminate this person, but we're going to put this person in, what's the criteria for elimination, and what's the criteria for replacement?
I don't think there's no real criteria for, you know, you know, whose name is on this list. If you have any, you know, these names were chosen from presidents that have, you know, slave owners, former slave owners, or presidents who have questionable past, or presidents who have passed legislation or poor policies, and or presidents that, you know, quite frankly, it's time to revise and select a new name that reflects the population of the students in the district. Again, majority is now minority. If we're in the 1920s, you know, and that's when, if I'm not mistaken, you know, you know, African Americans couldn't go to school, you know, in the same school as white, you know, our white counterparts. I say that to say that's when these names on these buildings were made. Earlier, I stated that these individuals were not our heroes. They are America's heroes. They're not my hero. They're not people that look like me. They're not our heroes. They're actually our enemies.
You mentioned President Roosevelt, and I think it's pretty well documented, his exploits, you know, as a hunter. There was a lot of misinformation about the Rough Riders. I don't think a lot of people know that a lot of the military successes that were accredited to Roosevelt were actually the exploits of some Cuban and black soldiers. And so Roosevelt took credit for some of their achievements on the battlefield. I see Roosevelt. Who else was on the list?
Roosevelt, Coolidge, Harrison, Lindbergh.
Lindbergh, okay. Yeah, Lindbergh. And I think that in recent years has come out about Charles Lindbergh. People know Charles Lindbergh as the famous aviator, but what has...
Gary...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, each of these presidents and individuals we named have not fought for the equality of all races. In some way, shape, or form, they have oppressed individuals and people, and they have done it without any apologies. They have done it, and it just is what it is that they did it. I'm not holding them. I'm not judging them by any other standard. We understand that it was a different time. It was a different day. But we need to understand that it's a different time and a different day in 2021. And back then, when these presidents were doing, and these individuals, because Lindbergh was not a president, we didn't have a voice. In local politics, we didn't have a voice in national politics, and we definitely didn't understand anything about global politics. Now we do, and now all I'm doing is making a change from these politicians that were unequal and were oppressing individuals to say we just want someone to adjoin these buildings that fought for equality for all races. I just really want to make that point real, want to make that point and say that. This isn't me picking on anything or just picking names out of the hat. You can look into the past of each of these individuals and see that they just didn't do for African Americans and minorities what they could have done. And for that reason alone, I want some direct reflection of individuals that were for what our student population is made up of.
Yeah, and I am not opposed to that. And I think you've known me for some time and my position on this. I think in our first conversation, I think I gave you a little bit of information about some of the people that were being proposed. I'm curious, in the little time that we have left, to see what names would replace some of the folks. We know we have Dr. Maud Sanders, and we know we have Reverend C.T. Vivian. Who else, or are those going to be surprises for us in the future?
Definitely. Well, definitely not surprises, because it's not up to me. It's definitely up, to the community, and that's the fun part. Are the interesting part. Annie Malone is the name that comes to mind. She was one of the, if not the first, African-American woman millionaire, along with Madam C.J. Walker, and her roots are tied right here to Peoria. She went to Peoria High. You also have individuals like Henry C. Gibson, first African-American police officer that was on the force here in Peoria. That's another one. I was even Frank Serrano, who was a individual that was one of our campus security officers for a while. Who recently just passed. That's another one that I would say. Harold B. Dawson is another individual that has done great works in our community that has recently passed. So the name is the names. Peoria has a rich history of names and individuals that have that would accept our students and would love our students and that would fight for our students, that would pass policies for our students, legislation for our students, advocate for our students, none of which any of the individuals that we are changing the names of would have done.
Greg Wilson, Vice president of the Peoria Public Schools Board of Education on the move to rename 6 schools in the district and giving us the reasons why. Hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us on the station.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Newsmakers is sponsored by the Illinois American Water Company for WPNV. WPNV, we're Peoria's neighborhood voice.